So many questions.
How many here were last week? How many here were here last week?
How many here remember the last thing I said? The last thing I said was, see you next week, bring two friends. Thanks for bringing a friend. You weren't even here last week. How cool is that? Thanks for being a light. Is it Kristen? Yes. So anyway, how many here are hungry? Man, I am craving a cheesesteak like... Yeah, now you're all going to be starving for something really yummy. How many are here hungry for God's Word? Like, put your hands over your head like a funnel and say, Lord, just fill me up. There's two people, four people starving for the Lord. Everybody else is like, I'm good. Man, why would you leave this stuff on the table? Fill me up, Lord. I love it. And we're not going to be filled unless we're empty. And how do we get empty? We use the stuff we got. Isaiah 43:1-2 and 3, phenomenal words, Ruth. When you walk through the fire, you won't be set ablaze. When the waters come over, you're not going to, drown or something? It's been 5 or 8 years since I read that scripture, and it was like, yum, yum, for my tum-tum. How much God's Word do you have in your heart? So when you don't have God's Word, you have it. I'm not blowing smoke here. This is really important. Don't take this book for granted. And let me tell you why. It changes lives. Let me tell you how. I ain't the way I used to be. And I'll tell you what. I don't want to stay the way I am. If there's more Jesus, show me. If there's more Jesus, teach me your law, your statutes, your precepts, your other four that I don't have memorized. Everyone that stood up here preached. How cool is that? My announcement person, my Bible person, my song leader. So I should probably go home because you guys are all preached out. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we're going to focus on your word, and there is much. And I pray that we would be just that, focused on your word. That we wouldn't be distracted, but that your spirit would have opportunity to minister to our spirits that you have given us because we're your child. God, speak to us now through your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the truth. As followers of Christ, we need to understand that we are under the authority of God's Word because we are under the authority of the God who gave it to us. Really? How many have gotten a gift in their life? Oh, good. So you've all had birthdays. How many ever got a gift that they really didn't want? How many ever got a gift that they really didn't love? How many ever got a gift they didn't really need? How many ever got a Bible for a gift from your parents or from a friend? Or just because I feel special, I'm going to get me one? How many use it? Yeah. You know, those that do use their Bible, you can tell. Because it makes a difference. You have to know that one day, listen, every knee will bow in acknowledging that God is the supreme ruler of every living thing. He reigns over all. And as true followers of Christ, one way we show submission to God is by living our lives in obedience to His Word and His way. All that the Bible teaches is how we're to be living. How many know Isaiah 43:1-2? Or two and three, I'm sorry. Well, there's one. I'd have to read it again, but then it would be memorized again. How many know John 3:16? Come on, people that don't go to church know John 3:16. But if that's the only verse you got, is it going to feed you? Is it going to fill you up? Because John 3:16 will change someone's life if you marry it with 17 and 18. Because if you don't have those two, 16 is just about nothing. So there's some homework for you. For the past several weeks, we've been looking at how God's Word speaks to us through the Bible and our response to it. Stephen knew God's Word. It was evident. You could see it, I'm sure, if you were there on the day. The week before that, we looked at the importance of knowing God, God's Word. Well, it's important to know God, too. But to get to know God, you need to know God's Word. It's important. And the week before that, we saw the necessity of believing God's Word came from Him. Do you believe that? Thank you. Today, we're going to look at how submission to God, listen, demands more than acknowledging that His Word is from Him. But we also have to live in obedience to what it teaches. And to do that, we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. So I know some of you are packing Bibles. It's a beautiful sight. Some of you have a cell phone. If you want to pull up James chapter 1, we're going to look at 19 through 25. We read, "My dear brothers, take note." Last week we said, mark this. Here he says, take note of this. Pay attention. "My dear brothers, take note. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore," here's the action, "get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you." Why? Because it can save you. We're dead. This gives us life. Pick it up. Read it. Listen to it. A couple weeks ago, there was an app that spoke God's Word. James goes on to say, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror in awe, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law," God's Word, "that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So, why do you suppose so many professing Christians seem to be missing the blessing of God? What was that night show host? The things that make you go, I don't know, it was David Letterman or the other guy, I forget. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's in part because they're Christian in name only. They don't have that real relationship between the Creator of all things and themselves. Good people go around miserable saying, "I don't understand. I committed my life to Christ years ago. Why hasn't He blessed me?" I'll tell you why. So here's my question. Christian, are you living your life committed to God? Yes. Good Christian. Or are you living your life submitted to God? You may find the definitions of both these words enlightening. The free the Free Dictionary defines committed this way: dedicated, devoted, loyal, intent, faithful, devout, resolute, adherent, dutiful, Christian. So we are. Good description. Yes? Yeah. Listen to the description of submission from dictionary.com. Yielding control to a more powerful or authoritative entity. Let's say, for instance, God yielded control. Yielding control. What does that look like? Well, for the answer, we'll turn to God's Word. Throughout God's Word, we're commanded, listen, to submit or be in submission to God. So here's just some of the things that God's Word says in regard to submission. For instance, here in the book of James. Everybody have the book of James? Turn to chapter 4. You'll see it, verses 7 and 8. Give yourselves humbly to God. That's an action. Resist the devil. Action. And he'll flee from you. And when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and let your hearts be filled with God alone to make them pure and true to Him. You have to understand, as I read this chapter, you know what I came to understand? James is saying that to be equipped to stand against the devil or his little demons is dependent on whether or not we are submitting to God. Truthfully, only when we do will the devil flee from us. We can't expect to be successful in standing against the devil if we're not in submission to God. Thank you, Jesus. To do this, Paul tells us in Romans 8, 7 through 14, that we need to be submitted to the law of God. Can you hear me okay? I don't want anybody to miss this stuff. This is what we read in Romans 8, 7 through 14. The mind is governed by the flesh. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, His Word. Nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. This is the state of our being that we are before salvation. Sorry. That's the truth. He goes on to say in verse 9, You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. Listen, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Here's some more truth. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Sorry. But, thank you for the but. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness, and it's not yours. It's God's gift. His righteousness living in you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit that lives in you, child of God. Therefore, brothers, because of this, we have an obligation. That's right in your Bible. We have an obligation. But it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit that's living in you, you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Are you following His leading? There's five of us here that acknowledge, yes, I read my Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, how are you following God? Just saying, I don't hear Him audibly. I hear Him through His Word. And He speaks volumes. And it makes a difference, a marked difference. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Paul writes, "Dear brothers, the longing of my heart, my prayer to God, is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with Himself, refusing to accept God's way. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in Him are made right with God." Did you catch what verse 3 said? Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God. Some good, well-meaning people are misled, caught up in the trappings of being dedicated, devoted, loyal, intent, faithful, devout, resolute, adherent, devoted Christians, committed, and yet failing in yielding to God. That's a hard walk. You try and follow God. It's a battle. And you're not going to do it by yourself. Ever. At salvation, when you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we submit to God. Our lives are given over to Him, to His authority and to His control. We begin to live a life of submission to God by believing in His Son. It's God's Son who rose from the dead to give us life. Do you believe that, Christian? Child of God. Follower of Christ. Romans 10:9 states, if you believe with, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what happens? You're saved. That is the truth of God's Word. To submit to God is to learn more about Him. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 describes a godly person whose life is submitted to God. Is this a reflection of me? Of you? Of us? Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. Those who law of the Lord, and on His law, he meditates day and night. Now, how do you do that when you're watching NCIS? I can't do two things at once. How can I do that when I'm cutting the grass? That's a sweet time to memorize Scripture. Meditate, ponder, chew on, think about. Is that what you do as you go about your day? When you're not doing anything, are you thinking about, you know, when I walk through the fire, I won't be burnt. When the waters sweep over me, they won't. When the waters cover my head, I won't be swept away. I'm standing on that truth and a gajillion others that the Holy Spirit reveals to me throughout the day I'm going through. Those who love God submit to them by living their life in such a way as to get to know Him more intimately each day. On Sunday, for 20 minutes on Thursday, every day. Is that you? Is your desire to become more like Christ? That people can see it in the things you do? In your actions? No, I stay in my house. I don't say Jesus anywhere. It's what we were called to do. How we treat one another is a way to submit to God. For example, Ephesians 5:21 speaks of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because He said so. Question. Whether a husband or a wife or how we treat other people, our goal, our ultimate goal is to reflect God's love. Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 40, taught that how we treat the least of these is how we treat Him. This is Jesus speaking from Matthew 25, verse 40. Truly, I'm not lying here. Truly, I say to you, as you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. To submit to God is to share Him with others. So here we go, back to the beginning. Think of the woman at the well who, I didn't call you. I did select a hymn just so I could tie it together. She was touched by Jesus. What did she do? She left the water pot. She ran to the city. She said, hey, come see the guy that told me everything I did. Is this the Christ? Her submission to Jesus included sharing Him with others. You're living forever, child of God. Who are you going to tell? Are you going to live forever? Who told you about Jesus? Besides me, for the last 5 years. And who are you going to tell? It's not to be kept to ourselves. All areas of our lives are to be submitted to God and placed under His rule and authority. Something happens when we come to Christ. We're changed. The old is gone, the new has come. We obey Him. We learn about Him. We treat others with love. We share Christ with others. Or maybe you didn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because you cannot, dare I say, will not, keep it to yourself. Living our lives in submission to God brings honor and glory to Him. And you'll experience a blessing that blows your shoes off. We still have access to the Handbook of Life. Do you know how to use it? Well, huh? Do you align yourself to hear from God before you read it? I get up early before anything's awake, even the birds sometimes. I go to a quiet place where I will be hyper-focused, not distracted. I pray, God, speak to me. That's getting yourself lined up. Fill my cup, Lord, my Lord. Do you ask the God of the universe to allow His Word to speak to your heart, the core of your being? Do you ask for opportunities to share what you just learned? Let's go back and see what God's Word has to say. You know, the guy I don't really like, James, in the book. Because he has an attitude. This is what he says, verses 22 through 25. James 1, you were there at the very beginning. We're going back. Chapter 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it is, does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. After looking at himself, he goes away. Immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, not the freedom to do whatever you want, freedom in Christ, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I can honestly say, I never worked a day in my life, whether a carpenter, a plumber, an electrician, a pastor, an evangelist, it's not work. Ever. There might have been days I didn't enjoy. There's days I don't enjoy here. Sorry. Did that just come out? But it's true. You can sit here week after week, listen to me suggest to go to the insights and the instructions found in God's Word. Or, some of you do, listen to the best Bible teachers and communicators, David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, every day, and still dishonor God by disobeying the truths you heard. Listening does some good. But until we put it into practice, the measure of your submission to God and His Word is not how often you listen to sermons. It's not. But the degree to which you listen, live in obedience to His Word and to God Himself. Because He gave us His Word. God has given us His Word as a mirror to show us who we truly are. And you know who you are. And you know when you walk past a mirror, you don't remember what you look like. At least I don't. I forget if my teeth are clean. I forget if my hair is right. Or do you just remember exactly what? Listen to this. When we have responded in repentance and faith to Christ, and we're following the Holy Spirit's leading, He guides us. And our response is seen in that reflection, a life of gratitude to God's grace, an obedient submission to His rule and authority over our life. Not over the day, not over the hour, to the whole. Lord, I surrender all. How many sang that? 80 times. Jesus said those who are truly in a relationship with Him, who truly love Him, will obey His commands. Take time to read John 14 this week. Because I feel the need to roast it. It's good. That excites me. And you're going to remember John 14 now because there's a good skating song. You're going to read it and you're going to hear do, 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 do. Wednesday, that little tune's going to be on somebody's phone. You're going to, you know what? I never read John 14 yet. Thank you, Jesus. What Satan intended for bad, God uses for good. Send a distraction on. I'll use anyone. I don't care. Thank you, George, for paying attention. George is my friend. Thanks for smiling, too. Does the way you live your life demonstrate consistent obedience to God's Word? Are you living a lifestyle of obedience? because I need to talk with you because I need help. I fall short. I'm just being real here. I preach to myself first, and way longer than I'm preaching to you. And you're catching a sentence here and catching a sentence there. But the ones you catch are the ones God wants you to hang on to. Don't let them get stolen away. Maybe you'd be willing to draw close to God today and have a conversation with Him similar to that of Psalm 119:25-32. Here's a great speak with God. I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me. Teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes. Lord, do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Through this, bring two friends next week. And don't leave that book on the table. Pick it up. And read your Bible and hear from God His response to your requests. I'm sick and tired. I'm laid low in the dust. God, help me. This is a great talk with God. You could begin by reading John 14 this week. See how far you're led. That's John chapter 14. That's where you begin. God's love. Love for you. I think that was said earlier too. Somewhere. And then see if you don't get to like chapter 17 or farther. Just let His Spirit lead your spirit. You could simply just read the book of James. There happens to be 5 chapters, 1 for each day. Take Saturday off. I'll lead you to more good food next week. I promise. But you have to take the action. You have to do the reading. I'm leading you to good food, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to change you, or mold you, or break you. Oh, God, break me. Stick with lead me. Heal me. Give me what I want. How about, Lord, I want to give you what you want. Father, I thank you for your word and the time we spent in it. And I pray that no one loses what's been planted in them this morning. God, I pray that they would guard it well, that it wouldn't be stolen away or destroyed. They would experience new life. Come back and say, my God is so cool, and give you the praise. So we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.